No.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Some Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, Tommy, you know, how you doing? How you doing?
Good, today? Tom. Hey, Alex is on, so we can start out.
Okay, good. Well, you know, you asked me how am I doing. Well, it's back. I've been compelled and drawn back in one more time to see what's going on out here due to the fact that there's a plethora of new leads going across this beautiful nation of ours. We're up here in Oregon and happened to hear about something going on. State trooper recorded some footage of a creature, believe it or not. And we're out here with Josh on his land, which tonight will be in full-blown investigation. But I've been compelled to come back on the radio. As you guys know, I haven't been on the radio. I've been taking care of a lot of the corporate business. Those of most of you know that we're over-the-counter now. We're a publicly traded company, and I've been taking care of that and the museum and everything else that's going on. But due to the fact of the grandiose encounters that's happening in Montana, the stuff that's happening in Oklahoma, the stuff that's happening in Pennsylvania, the stuff that's happening here in Oregon. We're in Oregon City. It's just blowing my mind. You know, it's the migratory season, as we all know, but there's been a plethora of calls and encounters coming in, and it's really, we've been blessed. Let me just put it that way, okay? So we're out doing what we know how to do best, and I'm back on the road with the guys. We've got new people. We've got people that have never been Bigfoot hunting, but they've got the intelligence enough and the brawn enough and the youngness to get what we need done due to the fact of their IT business and learning and teachings that they've had. So we've got the techies with us now for sure, besides the brains and the youngness and the brawn. Well, I'm going to just take up the first half of the show with a couple of guys that we've been out with in the past, a couple of guys who've seen Bigfoot, seen what they left behind, i.e., whether it be prints, whether it be vocalizations, whether it be tree knocking, whether it be rock clapping, various different things that they've experienced in the brush, or actually physically seen them also, okay? I was close with most of the people that I've been out in the field with. These two guys I happen to be. One used to call me Pop. I kind of considered him my son. And then for some reason or another, he swayed. I don't know what causes swayness, whether it be celebrityism, whether it's like a switch in your head and you get a little goofy. I don't know. I never say anything bad about the kid. He was a good kid. He's a smart boy. And I've always acknowledged his assets. And if he fucked up anywhere along the line, I'm going to tell him. And he knows that, too. And there's things that were said on the internet that he said and all this kind of crap. And people called me and said, oh, Jesus, he hit and ran and killed somebody. He's in a different state and all that. I never badmouthed him once. I always said, well, listen, did you talk to him? Did he tell you the story? And I says, until you hear it from him in his own mouth, I suggest what you do is just chalk it up as more bullshit that the internet knows how to do. God knows, you know. They know if the Scardies come into town, lock up your women and take your money and put it in a fucking safe. So, and with those who know me, totally outrageous, okay? So, without any further ado, I understand that we've got Alex on the phone. This is Alex Hearn, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, you there?
I'm here, Pop.
How are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Am I still allowed to call you Pop?
Well, listen, listen. Yeah, you know, we come up with it. What was Pop meaning now? We came up with it earlier. Yeah. And here's what Pop means today. It's pissed off, and I'll leave the last one to imagination, okay? Well, we found it out. It's a new saying. As you know, and I know, Alex, traveling the many hours that we do on the road, you start having visions and craziness going throughout your mind, and you just talk about it. But, of course, yes, you can, all right? I'd like to clear up a few things, Alex. First of all, let's go to the bit about the thing about this hit and run and you vanishing to Alaska and trying to evade prosecution and all that. I know the truth. I'm not going to say it, and I don't want to create any rumors or anything else. I want the world to hear it from your mouth. In your mouth only. Why don't you clear that up first?
Well, I can't really talk about that, but let's just say it really never happened exactly that way. Put it this way, you can't drive over the border if you're a wanted criminal, can you?
Well, I don't know anything about the law, okay? And I could care less about the law, because the law doesn't know about my business, and my business is hunting Bigfoot. So the key to it is I stay away from them, they stay away from me. So yeah. So was any of those allegations true, yes or no?
No, God forbid, no. You know, the Mounties are the most incredible police force in the country, and to drive over the border, you have to obviously be background checked and everything by the Mounties. I've spent a good deal of time with them, and obviously, you know, I don't know if anybody's driven over the border, they know, you know, you can't do that if you're wanted by the law. And so, of course.
Okay, so here's basically this. All right, did you hit anybody with your vehicle? And did
no.
they pass? Did they die?
No. That never happened the way it was portrayed. It never happened.
Okay, so you never hit anybody with your vehicle while you behind the wheel drive. And they never die.
The key is what you just said there. You know, I wasn't behind the wheel. That's just that's where we'll leave it. I can't really talk about that for whatever reasons. But there's never been any charges filed or anything. So, and you can't drive over the border if there were. So that would kind of prove.
Okay, you keep bringing up. Said about the border. Let's eliminate the border for time being. Were you convicted of a felony?
I didn't even go to court.
That's even better. That's even better. So yeah, all of those stories that were on the internet, the stuff that people called and told us about, and the stuff that they forwarded us of your mugshot and everything, that was all bullshit.
Well, just because something they think you did something doesn't mean you did it. And, you know, like I said, I never had to go to court. Our friend that you were with up here in Arizona 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, can tell you the whole story because it was one of his station had some of it on, and he was the guy that removed it all because it was false. So there you go. But that's, you know, and you know how legal things work. You don't talk about legal things, so that's not what we're here to discuss.
That's very true. That's very true. But at the same point in time, Alex, I told you that I was going to bring that up because that was brought to my attention and to my listeners' attention. Okay, now you just said it. You cleared it up. Okay, everything that we talked about was all bullshit then. It was not true. Is that correct? Yes or no?
That's correct. That's
okay.
Correct.
Now let's put that behind us. And if any of you people need any clarification around the globe, I suggest that you call or contact Alex Hearn himself. He's not
hey,
in
you know what? And you know what, Pop?
What?
Only one person in the whole world called to ask me about that and to give me some kind words. Do you know who that was?
I think it was me, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. So as bad as I may be, I'm not that bad, am I? Shit. Okay. So I hope you don't mind what I just told everybody out there. If they want any clarification, they want to know anything further about this, they're to call you or contact you. Is that fair enough?
That's fair enough. And my name and my phone number and my, you know, contact info is all over the internet. So
okay,
they,
good.
They can do that.
All right.
Probably
so now,
on your website. Christian.
Okay, let's get rid of that now. I'm glad that we did. All right, we got that behind us, ladies and gentlemen. And again, if you have any qualms about that, contact Alex Hearn himself. Okay. Now, there's something else that's very dear to my heart that hurt me deeply. Okay, now I've talked to you about this. Okay, you were man enough to fess up and tell me what the truth was and what the truth wasn't. And that's when I told you, okay, come on the show and let's clear up this bullshit. All right?
Again, because we already discussed it on the show a few years.
We're going to have to discuss it again then, okay? It's that simple, all right? Because people forget. And, you know, when I bring it up to them, they say, oh, I've never said that. I've never done that. So now we're going to do it. I've got 15-20 minutes left, so let me try to clear it all up, and we'll put this behind us, Alex, and we can go forward. How's that?
Sounds great. I don't know if we can do it all in 15 minutes. But...
Well, we're going to do a condensed version. If anybody has any problems, they can contact us off the show and talk to us individually, all right? My life's an open book, folks, number one. Number two, I just pass the scrutinization of the SEC, the Security Exchange Commission, FINRA, and the DTC. So, and not only that, Homeland Security, okay? To go through all that profiling, for them to give me a clean ticket, for them to scrutinize and say, hey, Mr. Biscardi and his firm is doing everything within the compliance of the pillars of the SEC, Security Exchange Commission, and selling our product over the counter of what we do, where people can come from all around the world and buy our stock and be a part of Bigfoot Project Investments. You've got to go some, folks. So all this bullshit that you hear on the internet is strictly one thing, bullshit. It's that simple. And you cannot erase what's been put on there. And I hope they get to the point that they do it. I understand now that they're coming and having legalities that can be brought forth on these people. And I hope they do. Because a lot of those mean, envious, jealous people need to atone for their deadly tasks, what they've done, and ruined a lot of families and a lot of lives. Okay? I happen to be resilient. I happen to be a person that's a fighter. What about those people who aren't? Okay? During the time of my tenure with this Bigfoot stuff, there's a lot of hateful and envious and jealous people. You found that out too, I'm sure, Alex. Okay?
Yep.
And the thing that hurt me more than anything was to know that people who are close to me and close to my organization would go behind my back and start a whole new organization with the finds and teachings that I've done and help them along the way, and never tell me anything until it was brought to my attention. I was hurt. I was hurt really bad, okay? Because I would have never thought that would have happened. And the case that I'm bringing up, ladies and gentlemen, is that Melba Ketchum, who I have an agreement with all of our samples, I was the first one that went ahead and brought them there at my own expense, me and Youngblood, Rob. And we went there and brought up all our stuff to help her out, starting the DNA of all the stuff when it came to Bigfoot. And then we had her on our show many times and told everybody to bring their samples or send them to her.
You went around and collected samples for her too, didn't you? From other people.
What?
You went around with Youngblood and collected samples for her.
We did. We sent, you know, it was hair, it was jawbones, it was teeth, it was the nail. As a matter of fact, the nail was one, and other different things. Okay, but that's not the thing that I've got the beef about. The thing I got the beef about was that people thought and took advantage of the kindness of what I've done to help a lot of people and said, well, screw Tom Biscardi, okay? We'll start our own organization and we'll get rid of him and we'll make all this money. We'll be so popular. We'll be celebrities. We're going to write these papers from Scientific American and all this, and everybody in the world is going to come and say how wonderful they are. Well, it came back and bit them in the ass, folks. They were denounced. Some of those people, that their lives were ruined due to the fact that they said, oh, you know, quit your job, sign these NDAs, and you're going to have a plethora of money and all of this kind of stuff, and people are going to be knocking on your door to do shows and stories about you. Have you heard that too, Alex?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, in my case, I've, you know, have gotten some great publicity from it, but that's because I didn't play the games, and, you know, you know, I take after the person that I learned everything from, so I'm rather outspoken. I'm being very soft-spoken right now, but...
So let me ask you this. Yeah, okay. Let me ask you this. When you had called me and told me about Bob Schmalzbeck signed with these people, and that was against me, Richard Stubbs said, and Melba Ketchum and J.C. Johnson, and those just a few, to name a few.
Now, J.C. was not involved with that at all.
Well, that's not what Bob told me. Bob told me he was.
Okay? No, J.C.
As a matter of fact, if you look at the press conference, you'll see him at the the head table there.
Oh, yeah, he had a sample there, but his sample didn't even get submitted until after, well after you and Bob had your disagreement. So J.C. was, you know, basically being involved
in... Wait. Bob and I never had a disagreement, so I don't know where that came from, all right?
Well,
now, if that's the case, I wish Bob would tell me about it, and I just saw Bob, and Bob said that was not true.
Well,
is Bob on? Wait a minute, let me see something. Bill, is Bob on? Bill Marlette? Bill Marlette, are you there?
Somebody just got knocked off. I heard the ding. It might have been Bob, Bill. And if Bob's not answering, he's probably not on. You know, Tom, this is what happened. Before, J.C. wasn't even involved yet in the DNA stuff. And it was, you know, me and you helping Larry, Rob, Youngblood, Bob. And we got Richard Stubbstad involved. You got him involved. He paid for some DNA testing to be done before we found Melba. And then we, the DNA testing, the lab suddenly reneged on doing the testing for us, right? We had Shannon Silva submitting it to a lab, if you remember. And I believe you had Richard Stubbstad involved. He was paying for some of the DNA testing, is my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong. And that's how you got him involved. That was his contribution. We did all the work, and he kind of was helping you fund the DNA testing. Well, Shannon Sylvia, who's from Massachusetts, my hometown, right? And I'm friends with her, and I'm friends with her husband, Jeff. When the DNA lab came back to them and said, you know, they gave us some outstanding initial data, I think you remember. And then all of a sudden they said, oh, no, it's just human, and we don't want nothing to do with it. And then we saw Melba Ketchum on Destination Truth or whatever that show is with Josh Gates. And you contacted her, and she was gung-ho about seeing you, and you brought the toenail to her, you and Youngblood. And around this time, Bob needed to retire, something to do with his retirement. And that's his personal info, but that was what he said, right? He needed to retire from being vice president because of his retirement. And, you know, the toenail went to Melba Ketchum. You went and got a bunch of other samples from Melba Ketchum that had nothing to do with searching for Bigfoot, I think. I think you just went and retrieved them for her because that's the kind of guy you are. And all those samples were with Melba Ketchum, and my understanding is that's when she got the idea for the genome study. She says that she already had the idea for the genome study. I don't know. That could quite possibly be true. But then she started doing her DNA testing, and Bob and Richard were involved with her, and Richard actually went to her and did some of the testing with her in the lab, and I guess the initial results he got to see. Now, he was, I guess, paying for the results, but he had no contract with Larry. So the results for the toenail were Larry's. Nobody else's. Just because he's paying for them, that doesn't make them his. The property is Larry's. The toenail data is Larry's and Melba's. And Richard saw that the data was coming back just as we heard it was coming back originally from the other lab as, you know, not quite human and something else. And we can go into that later tonight or some other time if you want, what it actually is, but that's not what we're discussing now. And that's when, I guess, things went to a standstill for a while. And I'm not sure what they told you, but back then you told me that they told you, you know, the same thing the other lab did, that after initial testing, it just proved to be human. And Larry got kind of perturbed that nothing was going on, and he got worried because he was hearing different things from different people. And, you know, it was human, so I don't think you wanted to give him the bad news. And at least that's what we thought at the time, right? So you hadn't contacted Larry in a little bit, which is unlike you. So, you know, all I can figure is that maybe you didn't want to make Larry upset or sad or, you know, blow his bubble. He's a good guy. He's not like any of these bottom dwellers, as we like to call them. And, you know, Larry contacted me and he said, you know, something's going on with the toenail. Nobody will tell me anything. And would you help me with it? So we weren't going out in the field as much then. We had been, you know, between expeditions. And we had just done, you know, basically three and a half months up there at the cabin with Larry, Rob and Bob and you and I, and me going every single week and everything. That's when Rob and I went to Las Vegas with you for a while, and we went to California with you for a while. But what happened was around that time, Larry asked me if I could help him with the toenail. So I called you up and I said, you know, what's going on with the toenail? And your exact words were, nothing, it's human. And I said, well, do you mind if I help Larry with it and take over that investigation since, you know, you don't want nothing to do with it? And you said, I don't give a flying, it's fucking human. And that was your exact words, you know, and I'm using the beeping myself out, but if you remember, you know, you talk colorful, and that was your exact words. No effing problem, it's effing human. So I went on to help Larry with it, and somewhere around that time, my understanding is that Bob, Richard, and you know, I love Bob, so this is just the facts. Bob, Richard, and Melba started the Science Alive LLC, and basically what they were doing was going to use the toenail data. And, you know, whether they thought they were getting something that was valuable or not is irrelevant. Whether they thought they were getting something over on you is irrelevant. And, you know, you can't be inside their heads. You don't know what they're thinking. But basically you weren't involved anymore. So the person that they were kind of going around the back on, at the very least, was me and Larry. And Larry didn't want to be involved with those people anymore, as much as he loves those people. He didn't trust them anymore because of all the things that had happened. So it was me and Larry running the toenail investigation, and it still is. And I wrote a paper, in fact, a couple of papers, and I called them all out, including Melba and anybody involved with her. And by this time, the DNA study, the genome study, the Sasquatch Genomes Project, as it's now called, was in full swing. And, you know, I threw a big monkey wrench into it. And I got contacted by a bunch of Melba's people, including David Pilates. And they told me I had it all wrong and that Melba Ketchum would like to talk to me. And I had never talked to her before, you know, personally, and would I mind talking to her? And I had everything wrong. So, you know, I said, of course I wouldn't mind talking to her. And she immediately called me up right after I got off the phone with David Pilates. Melba called me. And we've been good friends ever since. She's, you know, I think she gets a bad rap, and I told you that on the phone the other day, and I tell it here again now. I could be wrong, but I still trust her, and she's a lady, and I treat ladies a certain way.
Listen, that you have everybody has their own opinions, like everybody's got assholes. So here's the deal.
Yep.
I have a written agreement with her, as I had a written agreement with Larry, okay? And you can attest to that, all right? I still have it. The only reason why I haven't prosecuted her or went against anybody, because everybody that's in this goddamn business are fucking brokers. They got no money. What am I going to sue? Their ass? And they don't even have that because somebody else has already took a piece of it out of them, okay? I'm tired of the lie. I just want the truth. That's all.
That's right.
That's all I
and you did for. Say, and you did
you
say,
know,
Al, go ahead. I don't care what you do with it. It's effing human, right?
And guess where I got that from?
I know where you got that from.
Where?
Huh?
Where did I get it from?
Well, probably one of those three people or Larry.
Not Larry, okay? Because Larry got pissed off at me and said, hey, Tom, what the hell's going on? I said, Larry, I have no idea. I says, I gave this woman who supposedly is a veterinarian that had some DNA expertise, and she said she did the study and yada, 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 and it came back as a European woman, as a human, okay? And I says, well, does it have any connection to the creature? You know, as an unknown biped, as a Bigfoot? And she says, no. And that's when I told you, you want to take the investigation, because that's when Larry called me and said, hey, what the hell's going on here? Everybody's saying this, everybody's saying that. I says, Larry, I have an agreement with you as I have an agreement with her. And by the way, she never sent me, as she told me, she sent it to Bob Schmalz back, Don Monroe's hand, which we had the contract for. Same thing that with the nail, which we had the contract for. The hair samples, the jawbone, the teeth, which we had the contract for. I have never received any of it. Okay? And then when I called her upon it and threatened her with the attorney, she says, oh, I sent it to Bob Schmalz back because I thought he was a part of your organization. Then the next thing I find out, you're telling me that they started this other organization behind my back. Okay, this whatever the hell it was called, you just mentioned it a little while ago. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, why would they do something like that when I've treated these people like my own?
Well, and the hand was never sent to Bob. It was sent directly to Don Monroe, and I organized that myself with Melba just a year or two ago. But beyond that, that's when I contacted Melba, or she contacted me, and she was bawling her eyes out. And she assured me that anything that was going on with Richard and our friend Bob was not true. And she would like me to handle the toenail for Larry as far as the DNA study goes. Well, I had already had Larry's permission to handle the toenail. I had already had your permission to handle the toenail as far as the representative goes. But just in case, I called Larry again and said, you know, I got everything, I think, figured out, and we got the toenail possibly as part of the study. It's what I'm being told is it's not human, and they do want it as part of the study, and they want me to help you in representing it. And he's like, great, and that's where we went. Now, it still took a long time after that to actually sign the paperwork to get it submitted to the study because Larry was a little hesitant. But eventually, some 6 or 8 months later, Larry and I both signed the, you know, agreement that she could use the data from the toenail, and the toenail went on to be one of the biggest samples in that study. At the very least, it was the only existing, still existing sample in the study, because the pieces of hair all got used up to be tested in the testing. The piece of meat from that other person that got it out of the
ABC.
I know his name. I just don't want to say it. Got it from the Nevada, California border there near Reno, in the hunting area. He you know, was bear hunting and poaching bear, and he shot the supposedly Bigfoot. And then he went back a few weeks later and got a piece of meat. He came on my show, and he admitted to basically poaching, because he had his permit for one side of the road, and the Bigfoot he shot, claiming to be a bear, was on the other side of the road in technically another zone. So if he was poaching, whether he, you know, he wasn't like a crazy poacher, but he was shooting in the wrong direction, in the wrong place. He admitted that on the radio. You can still go in the archives of my show over at Live Paranormal and get that, probably. And but anyways, that sample was very controversial, and you know, I think frowned upon, and the toenail, of course, except for our little internal agreement.
Where's the toenail now?
Toenail's with Larry in his safe. Whenever I want it, I get it, and I go on TV with it, or whatever needs to be done.
In his safe, yeah, okay. So what did Melba finally do with the toenail?
She did her DNA testing on it, and before Larry would sign it into the study, he wanted it returned, which, you know, I got her to return it to him. She sent it UPS, FedEx, whatever, and Larry got the toenail back, and then, you know, we signed the paperwork to allow the data for the toenail to be used in the study. Now, in that short time before that, Bob, Richard, and I guess Melba, but she denies that she had any knowledge of this, started their own LLC, I believe Science Alive, with probably would have been a great science company. But, you know, at least the toenail was being used, if not illegally, because they at least somewhat had permission, I guess, or at least they thought they did, with not.
So is the Science Alliance LLC, has it been dissolved?
Science Alive.
Did it ever go anywhere?
I don't know. That's not my business, you know. We got a website, or had a website, and when I wrote a few articles about the whole deal, and, you know, finally me and Richard and Bob, and, you know, for whatever Bob did, I've forgiven him many times over, and I love the man like a grandfather as much as I love everybody in our group. So by no means am I trying to upset Bob. I'm just telling the truth, and we're trying to be fast. I can make this last the whole show if we wanted to and get much more detailed. But Richard and I also had we agreed to disagree, and, you know, the sicker he got, the nicer I was to him. And what I did is I made him an honorary member of my group, the AZCRO, and, you know, I wrote some really nice things about him. And then, you know, his family made sure that I got to announce his passing. So I was the one that first told the world of Richard passing, which was a very, very sad thing. And I'm honored to have been able to do that. I'm still friends with his family, Doug Post.
And you know what? I'm going to give you a brownie point for that. God bless you. The man's dead. He's not here to rebut anything. And you're looking like a real nice guy. Here's the thing I wanted.
Who taught me that? Who taught me that?
Well, you're going to say me, I'm sure. You've given me a lot of accolades, and thank you so much for that. But you know what? I started to think about that. I've never done you wrong. If anything, I've done you a lot of help, a lot of good. The thing that just bothers the shit out of me, has been gnawing me for all this time, is how when you called me and told me, hey, I hate to call you about this, Pops, but, you know, they're trying to throw you under the bus. And you know who those three people were, right?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, okay, that's right. All right, so those three people were Richard Stubstead, Bob Schmalzbeck, and Melba Ketchum, okay? And I told you I had a hard time believing that you know, especially with Bob, okay? Bob was with me for many years, okay? He was part of my organization, all right? Any of the recognition that Bob has coming for anything, he gained a lot of that knowledge and everything and experience was with me, as well as it was with you, as when you've come with me. You guys have learned an awful lot with me. I just want you to know this, that it hurt me. It hurt me bad, okay? Because it's like telling me one of my own family members fucked me, okay? Ladies and gentlemen around the globe, please forgive me for saying this, but, you know, it's the way I felt, and it's going to come out the way I feel. And it just bothers me to no end that I had to experience this thing. And the thing about it was all done behind my back. Wasn't even, you know, in front of me and say, hey, screw you, I don't want to be with you no more, you're no good, yada, yada. Wasn't even that. But what was the ulterior motive, Alex? That's the thing I'd like to know.
Well, you know, I don't think it was done to fuck you or to fuck me. I think people get dollar signs in their eyes and in their mind, and they forget about other things, and they justify things in their mind. And, you know, it did upset you back then, and you did say some mean things to the people you thought were harming you. And, you know, at the time, I didn't know the full story, so we said some mean things about each other, you know, so it wasn't one-sided, but you were upset. And your feelings were hurt. And period. You're from New York. I'm from Boston. When we say mean things about people, they're not. You know, we don't say he's a mean person. We say he's an asshole or whatever.
A lot of this stuff. Let me see. I understand that Bob's with us now. Bob, are you on the phone?
I sure am. And Alex, you know, some of the stuff is. I think it's all kind of was misconstrued. We started an LLC, and along with Melba Ketchum, who never signed it, so she was not involved in that. And she wanted to know if I could help her get that sample there. And so I called to talk to what's his name?
Larry.
Yeah, Larry. And. I said, would you want to do that? And he said, well, I don't know. Let me think about it. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll write up an agreement for you if you want to that guarantees that you own it. Nobody can take it from you and this and that. And then the next time I contacted him was when I found out you were involved in. He said, I took over this whole thing and you had no business calling Larry and blah, blah. Well, I was never aware of that. You know, I didn't know that you were taking over that site. I had no hand on it. So it sounds like a comedy of errors, not anything malicious from anybody.
That's a nicer way to think of things, and I hope that's what's true, because that would be a much
nicer
way.
Well, I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. You could ask Larry. I even told him, I just want to make sure that you maintain ownership of it, that you get it back after the study and everything else. I wrote him up an agreement, and I never heard any more about it after that. And then that's when I started hearing from you.
But at this point, if you didn't know I was involved with the toenail, you did know that it was Tom's deal. And one of the big things with research, and I call it intellectual plagiarism, is you don't cut in on something, and I'm not saying this is what you did either. And
well,
you don't
well, Tom had already offered it to them, right? Didn't he already send it in for some testing?
Tom sent it in for some testing, and he let me take it over because he thought it was human. We already went over that a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I heard that. And what I'm saying, what I just said was, if all you, what I just heard was all correct, then all I see was a misunderstanding between us, not anything malicious from anyone.
Well, there's a little dead air kills guys, especially on radio. And I think before anybody ponders an answer, I think he said it very wisely, Bob. And what he said was, everybody thought there was going to be a grandiosa payday for everyone if it did get published by Melba Ketchum. And now I understand that Melba Ketchum had nothing to do with this LLC. Is that correct, Bob?
She never signed it. It never went into effect.
So that was in limbo also, huh?
Yeah, that was not even really involved at that time. That was Richard and I wanted to do that, and he wanted Melba involved, and she never signed it.
Yeah.
We had another person who I won't mention who was showing some interest in being involved in that too, and I think you know who that is because I talked to you about it. And then I was trying to find a letter that I got back from that person. But,
Yeah. Did you ever find it?
No, I had a doctor's appointment this afternoon. I just got back about an hour ago because I had stopped picking up medications and everything.
Bob, was I ever part of that LLC?
Who?
Was I ever part of that LLC?
No, I had no idea you were involved at all.
Right. No, because Tom earlier said you were involved in the LLC, meaning me.
That was a mistake. Now, you were never involved in that. You were never even aware of it. I was never even aware of your position there until I called to talk to Larry, and that's when you told me. And nothing went any further after that. Yeah, the only thing I had done for Larry is I had written up a release saying that he owned it, and that if he sent it in, he owned it, he would get credit for it, and he would get it back. That's all. That was my only participation, really.
And that, you know
that
what, fellas, that
was Larry's main concern. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But that was already stipulated when I first met Larry. Okay. We had an agreement. The guy thought I was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Didn't get to talk to him much. He even named the street after me up there, the Biscardi Valley Road or some trail, some goddamn thing he even made up. And, I thought everything was just fine. Now, all of a sudden, somebody filled his head full of bullshit, stating that, wow, man, this could be the biggest thing ever. Get all this kind of money. And then I get a call from his attorney. His attorney says to me, I want the nail back right away. And the agreement that he had with you with null and void, yada, 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 and all this. I called him up. And I says, no problemo, pal. I says, why are you treating me this way? What have I done to you? If I had 100 words with this guy, I had a lot. So apparently somebody filled his head full of bullshit. And I don't know who that person is, okay, because I wasn't there. But you know what? I obliged the man. And then I told him at the end, I said, look, I can't return you that nail because Melba Ketchum has it, but I have the agreement, which I faxed over to his attorney, okay, at that time, because we didn't have scanning and all that shit that you can do it through email. And he saw it. The attorney called me back and apologized and said, Tom, I'm so sorry. But here it is, as you called it, Bob, misinformation.
Well, Larry never wanted any money from anyone. He just wants the truth about what the toenail is. And if it's an actual toenail of Bigfoot, is all he cares about. He's an old man. He doesn't care about money. He's got his own house. Heck, he still works part-time just because he likes to. He still goes up to his property, going up there soon. There hasn't been any activity in a long time. Hell of a lot of background noise in there. What the heck is that?
I'll get it, too.
But, Larry never wanted any money from the whole deal. And that was his reason for calling me, that, he thinks everybody's trying to get rich off his toenail, and that isn't his goal. So
yeah, we never, ever discuss anything about money. And we would not, the only person I knew that was looking for money were some of Melvin's investors.
Yeah.
But certainly I wasn't. I wasn't expecting it. I was just trying to protect Larry. Because I had no idea that you had taken over the site or that you were, you know, I worked out any deals with Larry. How would I have known that?
Well,
she wanted, you know, she said, do you think you can get the toenail? And I said, well, I could try. That's it.
So let me ask you guys this, you know, because, it's a pontification. What happened with her study? Did she get accepted in Scientific American or all that shit? What happened?
Happened in her study. She is so headstrong and so full of herself that she had someone there who told her she would help her write the paper, and that person was someone who reviewed scientific papers. And if she let her do that, that other person's name would have to be on the paper with her. So she got rid of that other person. And she wrote a paper that no credible scientific paper would publish it. She finally had it published in some offbeat something, which had no credibility at all. So it went nowhere. And actually, from what I could tell, her science was good. But her business practices were a little not quite as sound as they needed to be, which is why I was trying to help her. But she got rid of me, too, when I started telling her, you shouldn't be doing this and you need to do that. So that she fired me.
You know, I read a book recently by Michael Green, and he states that Guy Wally, the old man, as they referred him to, invested $500,000 with her. So she had some, you know, substantial amount of money behind her there. And
I guess
he never got any of that back, did he?
From what I understand, he never did. And he was hoping to get his money back. He had some really good videos, good solid videos, supposedly, and would be able to sell those, market those after the fact. But, of course, the whole thing just fizzled because of, it just got so convoluted and just so out of hand. But I was gone from it long before that ever happened.
And it never came to fruition, huh?
No, not as far as I know. I did see some of the film he has, and he does have some really incredible video.
Well, the results of the study are pretty profound, and the data is still available. So the data is there, and it shows that basically, and for the sake of layman's terms, we'll use percentages here, but I don't think that's the correct terminology, right, Bob? We should be talking different things. But in layman's terms, it's 99% human, and it's 1% something else.
That's not quite true. What makes it the human part is the mitochondrial DNA.
Right.
And the other part is something not really that they can't really quantify, and it's within 2% of human DNA.
Right.
But
and
not
that's the
identifiable.
That's
and
the
that's all from the work of Richard Stubbstedt. He's the one that did the statistics on that, all that.
Stubbstedt Richard just did what she told him to do in her lab. Let's get
well,
one
Richard,
thing straight.
Yeah.
Let's
no,
get
no,
one
no,
thing
no,
straight.
Listen to,
Richard
listen
is
to
not
again.
A scientist.
Let me say it again.
Richard
is the one that did all the statistical work on that. That's what I said, statistical work, nothing else.
But he
It was her lab results, and he did help with, in the lab.
He put that together in a chart. I have all his paperwork here. We were business partners.
Okay. And we've gone over this.
Richard never claimed to do any DNA analysis or anything like that, ever. He took those results, and he laid out a chart statistically, and that's where those numbers come from.
But within the DNA, she can tell exactly who that toenail is related to, what humans are part of that mitochondrial and nuclear DNA.
Well,
and
I don't have anything specifically to the toenail. I only have the final stuff she came up with that Richard put together in a chart for us.
Right. And she did a much more...
I don't know the specifics of the toenail. I never heard any more about it.
After Richard was gone, and I've spent hundreds of hours on the phone with her talking over this stuff. And like I said, to put it in layman's terms, it is 99% human, and it's actually less than 1%, but layman's terms, 1% something else. And here's the key. The DNA that's not human is unlike any DNA on this planet. It's for the sake of argument, we all know DNA is a double-stranded piece of matter. The code is double-stranded, right?
My concern, my understanding, yeah.
Yep. And the part of the DNA that is not human, it's not just not human, it's unlike any other animal on this planet.
I never heard that from Melba or anybody else that was involved, so.
And you won't, because this was personally said to me through the wee hours of the night. We've talked for hours and hours on end.
He does talk for hours and hours on end, doesn't he?
Yep. We still talk. And the DNA that's not human is single-stranded, unlike anything from this earth. So that's where people get the
did
truth.
Did you put that in her paper?
I don't remember
seeing or hearing anything about that.
Right. I don't think scientifically she wants to release this part of the DNA, this part of the matter, or this part of her theory. But that's where people in the know, and all sample holders, and Erickson, and the other people, the Olympic Project, Wally, they all got this data. There's nothing that can be done with it. It can't make any money. But they all got their results. And the part of the DNA, and this is kind of a coup for the Big Live show, the part of the DNA that is unexplainable is single-stranded. It's unlike any DNA from an animal, whether human or not, on this planet.
Well, there is a theory, and Richard kind of brought it up with me, with the number of mutations in the mitochondrial DNA, mutations generally come in a reasonably set amount of time. It takes so many years for mutation to show up in the mitochondrial DNA. And it showed that this first bred with human women
20,000 years ago.
No, about the time of just prior to the flood, which puts them in line with the Nephilim, which is another whole story, a whole other.
That's a whole other show, folks.
That's a whole other thing. But there's a lot of information there
that's correct. That's correct. That's where the theory was going.
Alex,
go ahead, Tom.
Neither one of you guys right now, please. Now I'm going in. All right. And I want to, first of all, apologize to my guests around the globe. The other guests were supposed to be on this show tonight, number one. Number two, we have a current investigation going on up here in Oregon City, which we have to get out to. Number three, we'll continue this on at another time. But I have to tell everybody one thing. It's great to hear about all the scientific jargon, but at the same point in time, still going on after all these years. Me and my boys are out trying to bring one of these things back to prove it to the world so we don't have stupid conversations like this. He said, she said, and oh my God, this was all for a good reason. But the bottom line, folks, you heard it said earlier, it's all about the almighty dollar, okay? And the key to it is, you know, cash is king today, folks. Remember that. So the guy that brings back the real deal, whether it's 99% human and 1% out of this world somewhere, or 98% human and 2% out of this world, I really don't care. I care about one thing, is about bringing one of these things back, dead or alive. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm still here to say that we still got boots on the ground. And my team, that's what we're doing. So everybody can sit and talk story. Everybody can sit behind their computers and be the weekend quarterbacks. But they know the truth. Searching for Bigfoot does one thing. And what is that, Bob?
They look. They search. They don't stop. And they're going to someday bring back disputable proof that this thing exists.
And thank you for the truth. Thank you for the honesty. Same thing with you, Alex. Thank you. Because, ladies and gentlemen, Alex was out there with us, and I think one expedition we were in Arizona, he saw Bigfoot more times that night than I did. And you know which one
he
I'm
did.
Talking about, Alex.
I do remember that one. And we
you remember that?
Yeah. It was upstanding behind him, actually. Was it, Alex?
Yeah,
no, I did my best impression of TJ I could do, and I chased that guy through the woods for a long way until Tom and you called me back.
Yeah.
And by then I was a quarter mile into the woods and down the road.
There
if you remember
go.
when I popped out of the woods onto the road, I had to walk a quarter mile, half a mile back to the vehicles where you guys were with the equipment and the FLIR.
I remember that. I remember it like it was yesterday. Guys, thanks so much. Again, Bob, thanks for your wonderful hospitality. Kiss Vicky for me. Alex,
oh, you know the door's open for you.
Thank you. I hope everything goes well for you. Till next time, America, kudos and salutations.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.